Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In a world with work deadlines and horrible bosses,
if you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
And your team may be in last place. We can all find comfort in sports, like a signal in the sky.
Oh, come on. You gonna leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
They call upon Gwen and Chris with Tony Gwynn Jr.
Oh, yeah. I was seeing so many Dickersons in my head.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
And Chris Ello.
I'll tell you why you do not want to hesitate to put Patrick Holmes in your lineup, because I am playing against him.
Well, I don't know who Patrick Holmes is, so.
All right, next story.
Give me another non-story there, Slugger.
Gwen and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Hour number three, welcome back, Gwen and Chris. Happy Thanksgiving Eve.
Howdy do.
Why was that funny, Scraby?
Yeah, Scraby, why was that funny, Grinch?
Wow.
I didn't laugh.
Running the show today, the Grinch, 5:05 is the time as we head towards 7 o'clock on this Thanksgiving Eve. Coming up this hour, our countdown, which will get everybody in the mood for Thanksgiving, our top five Thanksgiving side dishes. I don't know how Tony Gwynn Jr. is possibly going to be able to fit five in there.
I don't either.
Because I've seen your table before, and it's got way more than five side dishes on that thing. That's coming up in a little bit. Jim Callis, MLB Pipeline, will help us break down the trade today. The Padres, if you haven't heard, have traded Luis Urias away to the Milwaukee Brewers, along with left-handed pitcher Eric Lauer. In return, the Padres get right-handed pitcher Zach Davies and outfielder Trent Grisham. If you're not familiar with Zach Davies, 10-7 last year with a 3.55 ERA. He made 31 starts. 2018, he was hurt much of the season, went 2-7. Year before that, made 33 starts to lead the league in that category and also had a 17-9 record. So Zach Davis has had some good success, and he's pitched all right in a hitter's ballpark, Milwaukee. Now he comes to Petco, and we'll see if he can get the job done. He is 26 years of age. That's all. So Zach Davies, right-hander, comes to the Padres. The other guy the Padres are getting is Trent Grisham, who unfortunately right now is only famous for one play, and that was a ball skipping past him in the NL Wild Card game this year that allowed the Nationals to rally and beat the Brewers and start their World Series run. But Trent Grisham, outfielder, hit six home runs and 156 at-bats for Milwaukee down the stretch last year, but hit 26 home runs prior to that in the minors.
Yeah.
So this is a kid who's, in a lot of ways, it sounds to me, Tony, like Trent Grisham is to the Milwaukee organization kind of what Luis Urias has been to the Padre organization, just somebody they expect great things. This is a former first-round draft pick in Grisham, who they expected to be phenomenal, has not yet quite lived up to what they were hoping, and that the same could be said for the player that Padres traded, Luis Urias.
I mean, it's about need, and the Brewers don't need offense. They need pitching. You know, yeah. they took a flyer on a tremendously young prospect that at least at one time had a high ceiling. So they're willing to take that risk on the offensive side. Just a couple of things to point out about Grisham. 36 starts at the big league level when he came up, 14 in center, 13 in right, 9 in left field. Didn't make one error during that time. He only made the one error in that big game. So
when
that's the last thing you see.
Oh, it's not fair.
No, it's not fair.
Oh, it's totally
not
fair. Yeah.
But the upside is there for the Padres. And again, they get in return, not only do they get Grisham, they get Zach Davies, who, as you mentioned, has been when he's healthy, Mind you, he's only been in the big leagues at a consistent rate since 2016. So four seasons, three of the four seasons, gotten quality pitching out of him. One of the seasons he was hurt.
Yeah, when he's been healthy, he's been much better. He's been he's definitely been an improvement over what Eric Lauer has given the Padres over the first 2 years. But I still say this trade comes down to one guy and one guy only, and that guy is Luis Urias. If he goes to Milwaukee and takes off and becomes the kind of player that the Padres told us he was going to be, then this is going to be a lousy trade. But if Luis Urias continues to stumble along and never really catches fire at the big league level, then I think this is going to be a steal of a trade for the Padres.
Yeah, I think it's I think the fairer way to say it is Grichem and Urias. This trade depends on, because if they both play well, nobody's going to trip over here in San Diego that Luis Urias is doing well in Milwaukee.
If Grichem matches Urias,
right?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I just worry because so many Padre players have gone elsewhere to other organizations and flourished.
I totally
then you know
get the,
that San Diego fans are thinking that in the back of their head.
I totally get the skittishness.
Yeah. Scraby, your hand was up.
We have a phone call.
Oh, I thought you just had to...
No, I didn't have any good points. I've already made them today.
Evan was on with the program a little earlier, made some college football picks with us, and did such a fine job that he's coming back on the program now to talk about this trade. Evan, welcome back to the show. It's you're almost like a special guest on the show today. Appreciate it.
Hey, fellas. I feel pretty special, so good to be back.
What's on your mind in terms of this trade, Evan?
You know, I think there's a lot of negativity coming out about both the trade and about the signing of Pomeranz, and I think it's just classic San Diego mentality to have this negativity because we are so accustomed to having bad things happen.
Yeah.
But I really like the trade, and I really like the signing of Pomeranz. I think, to get back to what Tony said earlier, I think that's about the going rate for a stud lefty reliever, which is, he's not a stud lefty starter, but he's a stud lefty reliever. So I like that. And the same people who are criticizing that are the same people who are criticizing the Padres when they're not spending money. So you can't have it both ways, saying, oh, I don't like us spending money, and oh, we spent too much money. It's like, you know, pick a side. But the main thing I want to talk about wasn't that, was the trade. And I had a major bone to pick with Chris. And that's the whole thing about Urias, about if he does well, then the Padres have egg on their face. But in my opinion, the assets that were traded are the assets that were traded at that point in time. I wish Urias the best. And I think the only thing that matters is how Davies and Grichem do. And I think it's a little bit small-minded to root against him. And I think it was A.J. Casavell made the point a couple weeks ago when he was on, about we have so many prospects that some of them are going to get away and some of them are going to do well, and that's okay. And if anything, it gives Preller more credibility. Last thing I want to say really is about Grichem is he's obviously, as you said, a similar prospect to the Brewers as Urias was to the Padres. And with the gap that he made in the playoffs last year, I think they had to get rid of him. There's no way that he could be a part of that team going forward next year with what he did. Now, you can't blame him too much. He's a young player. It could happen to anybody, and it was a rough situation. But I have a feeling that we got Grichem at a discount because there was no way Grichem was going to be a Brewer going into next year. And, you know, Miller Field is a different place than Petco Park. So with that applying to both Davies, Urias, and Grichem, I think the expectations need to be adjusted based on the park. So Urias may be successful, Davies may be more successful, and I think Grichem, we need that left-handed bat. So, like I said, love the show. Thanks for having me on, and happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Evan's taking advantage of the fact that he's in my good graces to disagree with what I said about Urias.
That was a great call.
No, very good. Yeah. But I'll stand by my stance because Tony, you and I both know that if Luis Urias goes to Milwaukee and hits 30 home runs, people in San Diego are going to, as you like to say, feel some type of way about that. It doesn't mean that that's the way they should feel,
right?
But they will feel that way.
I can get on board with that for sure. I don't think there's no doubt. And listen, both of you guys are right. Evan's right. You're right. We as San Diegans do tend to be pessimistic when it comes to these type of deals. We tend to believe we're going to be on the wrong side of it with very good reason, because we have been on the wrong side of it too often.
Yeah.
And so it's natural for everybody to feel like that. But that being said, this trade to me doesn't feel like the Reyes trade earlier, where you're getting an actual prospect that nobody really, although in baseball circles is talked about very highly, nobody's actually seen him play yet. You know what I'm saying? So I'm okay with the trade. I think this trade, as I said at the very beginning, could end up having a win-win for both the Padres and the Brewers.
All right. Appreciate that. Well done, Evan. I want to take a second to thank all of the listeners to Gwen and Chris. It's Thanksgiving Eve, so I think it's a pretty good time to thank all of you Indeed. Out there. I'm not a big fan of tooting our horn. We come on, we do the show, we have a great time. We would do it no matter what. We love going out in the community, doing the show on the Friday high schools. We love just hanging out in the studio and just talking sports. But it seems that you guys like the show, and the ratings have come out recently, and they seem to indicate that you like the shows for whatever the ratings are worth. We appreciate it, and we hope you'll keep listening, keep supporting, keep just hanging.
You're a legend.
Yes, word. I know. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Adam. But we had some really good news on the ratings this week, and we don't get that without you guys out there listening to the show. So I just wanted to thank everybody who's been a part of it. And we've only been here like a little over a year and a half. Yeah. It seems like we've kind of established ourselves a little bit in the community with this show, and that's because really – a lot of it has to do with the hard work of the 49er fan over there. He does a really excellent job.
He does a bang-up job.
Together. What's up, Scrappy? Every single day.
Can I get a weather report real quick?
I would like the weather report.
Wow, it is raining really hard. This is being cool here on the Entercom Empire, so if you're sitting out there.
What?
It's that kind of insight, I think, why we got the ratings that we got.
It's where my dinger go.
Okay.
Scrappy's greatest hits.
Yeah. We should sell that. We should be able to put together a whole thing of that. But anyway, we got some good news on that. I wanted to share it with
you guys.
Thank you guys out there for being with Gwen and Chris. We'll keep having fun and hope that you enjoy along with us. All right, quick timeout. When we come back, Coach John Quintero, who also got some good news in the ratings today. His show is doing a bang-up job as well. His high school Lolita Spotlight is coming up. And then our countdown to the top five Thanksgiving side dishes. Tony may have to go over the five to get all of his in. We'll see what happens when we return. This is the number one sports station in San Diego. We appreciate that. We appreciate all of you. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
5:23. Thanksgiving Eve. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scravy, Thomas Andrews. The whole gang is here. And we have one more to bring to you. The High School Report is brought to you by Lolita's Mexican Food, serving San Diego's best Mexican food since 1984 with seven locations in town. Lolita's Mexican Food, and you know when you hear that, that means Coach John Quintero joins Gwen and Chris. Coach, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Tony. You and Chris are doing a great job. You got me through the rush hour traffic getting home here. I got an opportunity to listen to about an hour and 15 minutes of the show, and you guys were cranking, taking some phone calls here and there. Padre fans, some Padre fans are happy, some Padre fans are upset, but at the end of the day, I think the Padres became a whole lot better baseball team today.
Coach, was that you changing your voice, disguising your voice, and being all those crank calls we got today?
No, not at all. Not at all. No, but yeah, you know what? This time of year, they all come out of the woodwork, don't they?
Coming out of the woodwork.
That
today.
Was my first ever experience. Dealing
Tony
with that,
had never
Coach.
Experienced those.
I kind of didn't know what to do.
Offbeat calls, but we got a few of them today. Anyway, the high
school. Hey, when you do long late night shows like you and I did over the years, Chris.
Yeah.
We become veterans very quickly.
Yeah, you go to the phones at 11:45 p.m.
I bet.
You never quite know what you're going to get. Coach, quick preview, high school football playoff championship games coming up this weekend. Of course, last week, Helix won the open division title over Carlsbad in a thrilling game that we had here on 97.3 The Fan. What do you got for us coming up this weekend? Because, I mean, it looks like some matchups that are going to be right down to the wire.
You know, I don't have the other schools that were not going to be airing their games, but I do have the matchups for the two games we're going to be airing. Friday night, we're going to come on the air at 6:50 on both 97.3 The Fan and radio.com. And we got a great Division II matchup. We got El Camino going against Bishops. El Camino's been on fire since the playoffs have gotten underway. They got a nice running back in Noah Sega, who is only a junior. He actually starts on both sides of the ball. They've got plenty of firepower, and really they're playing great football right now, by far their best football of the year. And on the other side, you've got an undefeated team in Bishops, and they got a quarterback who's a junior who has just had an unbelievable year, a kid by the name of Tyler Buckner. He's a junior. He missed all but about four plays a year ago with a torn ACL. He's come back, had an incredible year. He's already committed to Notre Dame. And, you know, Bishop School, they have well under 1,000 kids. They're going to be playing a high school that I think has about 2,500 kids. Bishop's has 9 kids going both ways. If you read the article today in the paper, Joel Allen talking about how, you know, he's happy to get to this game and blah, 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 blah. But you know what? They're a good football team, and they're going to give El Camino a great game. Bishop's the number one seed in this division, and you've got El Camino, that's the number 7 seed, so a little sandbagging going on that one. Now, on the Saturday night game, because we're carrying Navy football at 4 o'clock, this game will be heard on the radio.com app, which is great for people that are, you know, going to be outside the area or grandparents that can't make it to the game. So download the radio.com app. We've got Oceanside going against Lincoln, and both these teams, the only thing I'll say about these two teams is they both got the athletes up and down the roster. A lot of team speed, a lot of quickness. You know, I haven't seen Lincoln this year, but I know they've got a young man by the name of Keyshawn Smith that's had an incredible year. Oceanside's got a young man by the name of Kavika, too, who had a 96-yard run a week ago, and I've seen him earlier in the year in their win over San Marcos. And they've got great talent, and they're playing good football. So you've got four teams right now, gentlemen, that are really and truly, I think, playing their best football of the year. And I know coaches say that all the time, but, you know, you don't get through the playoffs without being pretty good.
I cannot believe, real quick, sorry, Tony. Braden sent me an article. Did you see that, Coach? He tweeted it to me. It was 1986, my coverage of the Lincoln Oceanside Championship game.
Yeah, I saw it yesterday.
From 1986, Junior Seau played in the game for Oceanside against Lincoln. That's how crazy
isn't
that
something?
Is. I couldn't believe he found that article somewhere. Believe it even still exists.
Hey, you do anything nowadays, somebody can find anything they want.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Coach, all right, give us your high school report. Who are the athletes that caught your eye?
Okay, this week on the girls' side, we have a young lady. She's a senior at Canyon Crest Academy. She's a cross-country runner. Her name is Carly Doriscar. Carly last week ran really away with the girls' Division I cross-country championship. Over the 3-mile course at Balboa Park, she clocked a time of 16 minutes, 28 seconds, and 8:10. She beat the field, believe it or not. I mean, you got the best girls in San Diego going at it in Division I. And she beat the field by a minute and 19 seconds, which is just unbelievable. Carly Doriscar from Canyon Crest Academy. On the boys' side, really, really good football player. A young man by the name of Keontae Scott, a senior at Helix High School. Keontae plays on both sides of the ball, also returns punts, by the way. But, you know, the Highlanders defeated Carlsbad 28-21 in the Open Division Final. It was no score at halftime. Carlsbad scored to take a 7-0 lead on the first play of the second half. Then Helix tied it up, and then Keontae Scott put him ahead for good. He picked off a pass, ran it back 30 yards for a touchdown. They picked off another pass later in that quarter for another pick six. They went on to win the ball game 28-21. In the game, Keontae Scott, the big interception, played a great night, a cornerback, had three receptions on offense, and Helix continues to roll, and they'll move on to the state championship tournament now. They got to win a game to get to that state championship. We'll see how that goes. But Keontae Scott, a senior football player at Helix High School, and Carly Doris Carr, a senior cross-country runner for Canyon Crest Academy, both of them pick up CIF the titles last weekend.
Coach, as always, brilliant. I have one quick question, because I wonder, if there might be some other people who wonder the same thing I do. Helix won the Open Division Championship this year.
Right.
Who plays in the Open Division? Is it open to anybody who wants to enter the Open Division? How does that work?
It all goes upon a record, and it doesn't go like it used to, Chris. A few years ago, they changed it from, you know, number of kids in a school to, you know, how your football program is. And every year, they've had this for now, I think three years, where they have four teams in the playoffs in the Open Division. It was eight, but that was really too many, because you want to get the best of the best. And so it really comes down onto a point system, a rating system, a computer system. And so the four best teams, supposedly, according to this rating system, get into the Open Division title. Now, when we go to state, our team will drop down to Division One. So because we don't have the big powerhouses like Modern Day and St. John Bosco, so our teams will compete from the Division One level down to Division Five.
Well, thank you for clearing that up for us, Coach, because I know a lot of people do ask me that as well. We appreciate your time, Coach. Have a lovely, lovely Thanksgiving, man. We'll catch up to you next week.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you, all the crew down there. We got the best crew in the business.
No doubt.
A happy Thanksgiving to all of our great listeners. And I'm going to do a little work and get ready for Laker basketball.
I'll be right behind you, Coach. Have a good day.
Thanks,
all
righty,
take care, boys.
The High School Report is brought to you by Lolita's Mexican Food, serving San Diego's best Mexican food since 1984 with seven locations in town. Lolita's Mexican Food. All right.
Yes.
I've been looking forward to this next segment that we're going to get to.
I'm
after
not going to name
break.
Any. I'm just going to listen to yours.
The countdown is up next, and we are going to do the top five Thanksgiving side dishes. And that's next. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3, The Fan.
Time for the countdown, ladies and gentlemen. It is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change Centers in San Diego. And it is that time of year where we all get to eat and then watch a little football and eat. So what are our five favorite Thanksgiving side dishes? Today's countdown. Let's go.
It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip, as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is The Countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, to me, I think Tony's list is going to be much more impressive than mine, just because I've seen his Thanksgiving table. I've never been to his house, but I've seen it videoed on Instagram before, and it looked better than everything we ate last year, whatever you had on your table. Do you remember sending that video out?
I do.
You or your wife or somebody sent that video out of everything in the Gwynn.
He showed everything except for oxtail.
He didn't show us the oxtail?
I didn't show you oxtail?
No.
God, it was unbelievable. Mm. I could not believe the spread that they had last year. So I'm really looking forward to your
five. My mom enjoys to cook.
Sorry. Five favorite side dishes at Thanksgiving time. So I thought I'd go first and get out of the way, and then you go.
Go for it.
Number five.
All right, number five is my wife's grandma's recipe, which we still make. It's her stuffing. Here's a little secret on our stuffing that grandma...
Are you allowed to say this?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, okay.
I like to share these little secrets. Instead of putting bread in there, toast the bread. Mm. Makes everything a little crunchier and better, and then make your stuffing and put whatever it is you like to put in your stuffing.
But I'm in.
crucial to lightly toast the bread instead of just having bread kind of, it gets too mushy the other way. Little secret. That's my number five, the stuffing with toast.
All right, we'll start simple here with the five.
All right.
We're going to go with a garlic and herb mashed potatoes.
Wow, right? That's just my favorite side.
You know, regular whipped mashed potatoes, a little garlic, little herbs in there. That's as probably as simple as these are going to get for me, just so you know. But that's number five on mine.
That's as good as it gets for me, by the way.
Number four.
Number four for me is my wife's white gravy.
Ooh.
She makes it with flour as the base instead of turkey. She puts turkey drippings and things in there, too. But it's a flour base, so it's white gravy, and it's, I love it.
That would be weird. Like, no, I'm sorry, Mrs. Ella. I'm not saying you're...
It's just a little different kind of gravy than you're used to.
I'm not saying your gravy's bad or anything, but putting white gravy on white mashed potatoes would weird me out.
You'll like it.
I'm sure I would.
You would.
Gosh, gravy.
I don't know what's going on with
I don't either.
No, I do. I do.
I don't either.
I do.
Wait a minute. I just got a message from Lori.
Call me on your way. Oh, no.
Ba, 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 ba.
His heart literally dropped to his...
He's in trouble.
Yeah.
All right, I'm not here.
Number four for me... You guys mentioned stuffing. Somebody mentioned stuffing earlier.
I did.
Chris
Oyster stuffing.
Ooh.
It's one of my mom's...
Oyster
like sneaky dishes.
Is it actually oysters or is it the oyster crackers?
No, it's actual oysters. Ooh, wow. In the stuffing. You don't like oysters at all, huh?
Nah. Is the bread toasted?
The Grinch is amazing. He doesn't like anything.
The Grinch is amazing.
Is it stuffing or dressing, Tony?
Oh, yes, we did have this debate, I think, last year. I actually think it's dressing.
I think it's dressing if it's served on the side, but if it's in the turkey, you got to call it stuffing.
Okay, we're calling it dressing. Right. Definitely calling it dressing. I like that. That's better defined.
Number three.
Apple pie a la mode. I don't really need to give any other explanations, I don't think.
My nieces are making apple pie right now.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's the beauty about apple pie is you don't really have to give an explanation.
Not really.
It is just that good.
And the best part
cold.
It's the best part of Thanksgiving dinner is that when dinner's over and you can just go flop on the couch and then somebody says, hang on, we got some apple pie a la mode coming up.
I'm ready.
You're like, oh, man.
Incredible. Oh, man. Okay, number three for me is lobster mac and cheese.
Oh wow. How do we
I'm getting
an
hungry
invitation.
As I keep it.
My mouth is watering.
Unfortunately, this year... A lot of these dishes won't be at the helm. It's just me and my wife cooking this year.
I got to be honest with you. I would not let your mom out of town. B, if she did go out of town, I would make her leave a couple recipes behind.
I started to make her leave mac and cheese behind.
Leave that behind so we can make it.
It would have just been too hectic. But lobster mac and cheese is where I'm going.
Man, your kids are going to mutiny this year with no lobster mac and cheese.
They might.
You never stole her ingredients, Rolodex or anything, or recipes?
You know, the cold thing about my mom and her special dishes, the ingredients are all up there. It's all feel. Mm-hmm. It's like no actual precise ingredients.
That's true. That's all moms.
At least that's what they tell us.
Leisha's been working on those recipes as long as I've known her.
Number two.
All right. Number two for me, I think I mentioned this last year, but I got to get it in again this year. It's my wife's mother and her husband, Franz. She's remarried. And Franz...
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Makes the best I've ever tasted cranberry sauce. And I really don't know his secret. Cranberry sauce is not necessarily on its own like one of my favorites. Like if you just buy it out of a can and dump it into the plate and mix it up and go, here's the cranberry sauce. No, thank you. But Franz has this incredible recipe that he's got for cranberry sauce. And he, like your mom, has it in his head. I've never seen it written down anywhere.
No.
But he makes it and I eat tons of the cranberry sauce on Thanksgiving now, thanks to him. So Way to go, Franz.
Cranberry. I haven't had a homemade cranberry.
Yeah, this is. I'll try to sneak some in, but I usually finish it all. But if I don't, I'll sneak some in for you Monday.
All right, number two on my list: peach cobbler. These next two are going to be dessert, so just get ready. Peach cobbler. The peach cobbler has to be prepared nice, right? You get the sugary top to it, crust, but the bottom part kind of has to be a little on the doughy side. I don't want it to be too crunchy the whole way through. But that's peach cobbler is my number two.
Do you monitor the cooking in the kitchen at all? Or would your mom even let you in?
No,
the
she wouldn't. But it always comes out perfect when
I don't have to worry about it. Gotcha.
Number one.
Number one for me is your number five, lumpy mashed potatoes, which is actually, I don't think you're number five because you don't like your mashed potatoes lumpy, if I recall. You like them whipped up. But I like mine a little lumpy, and I like the skins on.
Ooh.
And my mother-in-law, Lori's mom, makes probably the best mashed potatoes, but Lori is like 1A. The two of them are just so close. Doesn't matter which one makes it. They're both... The lumpy mashed potatoes is my number one favorite thing on the plate, with the white gravy, by the way, on top.
Also, as a married man myself, I know you needed to get that disclaimer in there.
Oh, right, yeah.
For protection, because I would have had to do the same thing. Number one on my list, apple pie. I mean, I can eat apple pie literally any time of the day, any time of the year. If you bring an apple pie in my house, chances are I'm taking it up to my personal refrigerator.
Wait, you have a personal fridge?
Yeah.
Personal refrigerator?
A little college fridge?
Yeah.
Dorm fridges?
Dorm fridges. Is that what you call them?
I think so.
Yeah, I have a little dorm fridge.
You have one of those,
and sometimes when the kids like the same thing I do, I have to remove food out of the big refrigerator and move it into my room or I won't get any.
I think I'm going to be like Tony when I'm older and married. I'm going to have a fridge for myself.
The lobster mac and cheese gets done. It's zip right into Tony's refrigerator. Kids never going to see
everybody get some? Everybody? All right, cool.
It's gone. That's funny. He's got his own refrigerator.
That is great.
All right. Well, you made it through this year without the oxtail soup, but you got other candidates for your list that you didn't even get to today.
We did side dishes.
So, you didn't have a truffle turkey or something?
Truffle turkey?
Oh, yeah, it was side dishes.
What? Man, I haven't had truffle turkey yet.
No, I was just thinking about it, something fancy.
And you know what? You said truffle, it like it would make you sick turkey. Because you're the Grinch.
I am not turkey. The Grinch.
So much the Grinch.
Have you guys ever had kugula before?
Is that something Grinches eat?
I am not a Grinch.
It's not kugula. It's kugel.
No, it's kugula.
Uh-oh.
No, it isn't.
Don't even start with me. This is an old family recipe. We have Jim Callis on the line.
Kugel?
We will get this later.
I'm coming over there. How does he not even know the name of this thing that he eats?
It's called kugula.
I've never heard it called that ever in history.
It's been called that since day one of my life.
Well, it's been called day one.
May 25th, 1985.
My life's a lot longer than your life.
Well, that's for sure.
So is it kugler or kugla?
It's kugla.
Man, we haven't agreed on anything all day, Scraby and I.
No, you haven't.
I just see you walking into our Thanksgiving going, hey, where's the kugla? And everybody looking at you like you've lost your mind because nobody's going to know what the hell it is.
Yeah, no, we're gonna pick this up later.
Kugla.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
It's right here on Google.
It is?
Yeah, kugula.
No.
Lithuanian kugula.
Kugula? No such thing.
I'm out on this comment. I don't even know what y'all are talking about.
I don't either, because I don't know what kugula is. Countdown brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change Centers with 10 and 9 locations to serve you. Visit SoCalOilChange.com. SoCalOilChange.com. All right. For the location nearest you. All right. Moving along. Jim Callis does a fantastic job for MLB Pipeline writing baseball, and he joins us here on Gwen and Chris right now as we pick up the conversation on the Padres-Brewers trade today. Jim, how are you? Happy Thanksgiving Eve.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving Eve to you guys too. And I found myself googling Kugla while listening to that, and I can't weigh in on the pronunciation, but it's like a baked like potato or noodle dish. Is that exactly right?
It's a potato bacon dish that is from Lithuania called Kugla.
Okay. I don't know how to pronounce it.
From Lithuania?
I can't pronounce it. I can't give a definitive pronunciation, but I have heard of it. So.
Well, I've never heard of it, but I'm going to believe. Since you backed him up, Jim, I'm going to go ahead and I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Who are we giving the benefit of the doubt on this trade to so far, Padres or Brewers? What'd you think?
Well, I think I like the Brewers end a little bit more, and I'll say that coming at it from the standpoint of, I mean, I've talked to you guys about him before. I really like Luis Urias. And I know, you know, so far, you know, the first, you know, 300 at-bats or so of his big league career haven't overwhelmed anybody in San Diego. But he's also just 22 years old, too. I really like Luis Urias. And a lot of times I think when we ultimately judge a trade, you know, when we look back, it's whoever got the best player in the deal. And I still think he's the best player in the deal. I know Davies has had more value than Eric Lauer. You know, you probably rank him ahead of Eric Lauer if you're looking at the two pitchers in the deal. And I understand that. I do like Eric Lauer some too, and he's under more control. So I like the Brewers' end of this a little bit more. I can see why both sides would make the trade. I mean, this isn't a horribly one-sided trade. Although if somehow this is a prelude to Hunter Renfroe gets traded, then I'm really not going to like the trade. But I like the Brewers a little bit more because I've been a big Luis Urias fan for a while.
Jim, what can you tell us about Trent Grisham? I mean, he came up, obviously had a lot of success in the minor leagues, did a pretty decent job for his first time being at the big league level. I know everybody remembers the era and the playoffs, but this is a guy who seems to have a lot of potential.
Yeah, no, he is interesting. I mean, that's what I was saying, like, why I'd prefer to have Urias, and I think it's harder to find infielders than outfielders. That said, you know, it's pretty close. You know, what's crazy about Grisham is, I was talking to a scout. I was actually talking. We're working on draft stuff. I was talking to a cross checker this morning when the trade happened, and my comment to him was, "Wow! Like if you told me a year ago at this time that Trent Grisham would get traded for Luis Urias, I would have been like, come on, that's crazy.' Because even though he was a former first round pick, he was a 15th overall pick in 2015. He really didn't hit much at all in his minor league career in 16 or 17 and 18, and I saw him in the fall league after the 2018 season when he hit .230 in Double A. And he was horrible. I mean, he went 9-for-60. I know it's a small sample size, but he was literally one of the worst hitters in the Arizona Fall League. And based on the way he hit going into the Fall League, you wouldn't have thought like he even had any kind of big league future, let alone in 2019. And he made some swing changes. You know, he hit 300. You know, with 1,000 ops. Really controlled the strike zone well in the minors. So yeah, there is something there. You know, I still. Because this was so sudden, kind of want to see him do it a little bit more before I buy in 100%. But that said, I mean, you can look at this guy. I think he's more of a corner guy than a center fielder to me. But this guy can hit enough to be a corner guy if what he did last year was for real. I think he's going to hit for average. We'll see if the power's for real. But, you know, I mean, he hit for some power. I mean, shoot, I mean, the guy went from literally being a guy who couldn't hit, you know, 240 in the minors for 3 years in a row and being the worst player in the fall league to batting near the top of the order and at the top of the order a lot for a playoff team. So, yeah. I mean, he's a legit dude. I was telling somebody, I mean, he might be, you know, one of the most improved players in baseball in 2019.
Well, the Padres certainly hope you're right. Jim Callis is with us from MLB Pipeline. Jim, with this trade and Arias moving now out of the organization and Franmil Reyes moving on to Cleveland last year and some of the other thing, I mean, obviously Tatis is now kind of established at shortstop. Where does the Padre minor league system rank these days? Is it still way up there and number one, number two, or is it showing some signs of finally coming back to earth a little bit?
No, it's still one of the best in baseball. We haven't ranked the farm system. The last time we did it was right after the trade deadline, and we still ranked them number one. And I can't remember, like, they may have had a guy or two graduate off the list since then. But no, it's still one of the best in baseball. I mean, I think you know, Mackenzie Gore, I've obviously been about as big a fan of Mackenzie Gore as probably anybody who doesn't work for the Padres since they took him, because I would have taken him number one in that draft a couple years ago. But, I mean, I think you can make a case that Mackenzie Gore and Luis Patino are the best lefty-righty pitching prospect combo anywhere in the minors. You know, Taylor Trammell, you know, hasn't put up huge numbers, but, you know, they just got him in a trade. I mean, he's one of the more interesting outfield prospects in the minors. C.J. Abrams, last year's first-round pick, had a huge debut. Luis Camposano is one of the best catching prospects in the minors. And I still think it's one of the deepest systems around, too. They do a really nice job internationally. So, I mean, it's not – obviously, it's lost a little bit of, you know, since, you know, Tatis graduated and Paddock graduated and Urias got traded. But it's still – I'd say it's still – you know, we haven't ranked them, you know, as of up to the minute. Because I don't know if they'd still be number one. But I think they're still a top five farm system in baseball.
Jim Callis, MLB Pipeline, joins us here on Gwen and Chris. Jim, since we're talking about the Padres farm system, the question that kind of eludes me a lot is, why don't we hear more about Xavier Edwards? I mean, he's a guy who, since he's been in this organization, all he's done is hit and get on base and play a solid second base. Why haven't we heard more about him?
Yeah, you know what's funny is I kind of felt that way in the draft, too. I mean, you know, I don't know if he's going to have much power, but I mean, you're talking about a guy who's a well above average runner, has a chance to play shortstop. They're playing him more at second now, and could really hit. And when you're talking about the draft, you know, middle infielders with well above average speed, and if they can really hit, like those guys are usually first round picks. He's not the most physical guy, but I thought it was. I was kind of surprised that he wound up going in the supplemental first round, like instead of actually going in the first round. And you're right, like for a guy who came into pro ball, hit 322 his first full season in pro ball, including, you know, playing a month and a half in high class A and really showing no downturn in his numbers. It is kind of surprising he doesn't get mentioned more. I mean, he's one of the best. You know, I thought Luis Urias was arguably the best second base prospect in baseball, and I think Xavier Edwards is close. And it's funny because we had the last time we ranked second base prospects, we had Xavier Edwards at number four, and the guys who are 1, 2, and 3 are probably going to be in the big leagues at some point next year. So Xavier Edwards is probably going to be the best second base prospect in baseball by midseason or so. He is really good, and I don't have a good answer for you because you think guys would be more excited. I mean, this is a guy who could be a 300 hitter and steal 30 bases in the big leagues and play a real nice second base. So I don't know why he doesn't get more acclaim.
Well, I like everything you said, Jim. I hope everything you said turns out to be true. I hope that Grisham catches fire. I hope that Xavier Edwards winds up as a Padres second baseman someday. And if all of that stuff happens, then I won't mind it as much if Luis Urias goes on to some sort of stardom in Milwaukee. But I know that that is what the Padre fans fear today, that he's going to get to Milwaukee and all of a sudden figure it all out. And Padre fans are going to feel like they got left in the dust a little bit. But it does seem like San Diego got quite a bit in return, and we'll see how this trade works out. Jim, enjoy your Thanksgiving holiday. Enjoy your stuff, as always. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, no, it was great talking to you guys, and enjoy your kugula and find out how to pronounce it.
I'm not going near that. I'm not going near any kugula. Thank you, Jim.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
I don't care if I get invited over to Scraby's house and I have nothing to eat all day tomorrow.
No kugula!
I'm not eating kugula.
I think it's really funny that Chris admitted before that he didn't know what I was talking about, but he was fighting me on it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
How do you spell it? You're still fighting me on it.
How do you spell it?
Kugula.
K-U-G-E-L-A.
And what's kugel? Is that different? You don't know what kugel is.
No, I think you're thinking of something else.
No, I'm not.
No, he's not.
No, I'm not.
I don't know what kugel is.
All right. We got issues. When we come back, week six. Week
six. It looks similar.
It's 6 o'clock. No, week 13 of the NFL. Our picks. Gwen versus Chris. That's next. It kicks off the happy hour. As if this show has not been happy enough. On 97.3 The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests.
Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.